I'm Kim.
And I'm Ashley.
We're entrepreneurs.
We're moms.
And we chase our coffee with LaCroix.
So welcome to Seeking Balance, a podcast for mom entrepreneurs,
where we attempt to redefine work-life balance by having conversations about owning a business, life at home, and self-care.
So hang with us while we talk raising babies and business. What's new?
What's new with me? So I have actually been delving into AdWords.
Oh,
do you know what that is?
I do, sort of. I know what it is. I don't know how it works.
Right. So we, for Milk and Baby, had AdWords set up a long time ago. Every once in a while they would call and sort of optimize it or like rearrange it for us. And I kind of just was like, sure, do it, whatever. And we just kind of let it go.
Does it cost money?
Yeah, you pay. So basically you're setting up for, there's different things, but like for the search network, when people Google search certain keywords, like you want your little ads to show up, and you can do,
okay,
you know, text ads, video ads, and Google shopping ads and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
So we kind of set it up and forgot about it and just decided recently that something we really should work on. So I like delved in and watched hours and hours of videos. Now I kind of understand it and went back in and reset it up. So that's like, I'm super excited now that I more understand it, to go in and look every week and like adjust it and see what's going on with it. And it feels really good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Boring, but good.
No, it's one of those tedious things that needs to be done.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So new in my world is that this weekend, my husband and I celebrated 11 years of wedded bliss.
Yay!
I know. It was really nice. And we actually got 2 date nights in a row.
So awesome.
Yes. My kids go to a monthly parents' night out, and that happened one night. And then the next night, I had been gifted tickets to James Taylor. Mm-hmm. So we got to go see that. And that was a wonderful concert, primarily because I love James Taylor, but also because it's an old people concert. So everybody sat down the whole time.
Yes.
And I was like, this is my kind of jam. I do not like concerts where people stand because I am old.
Right. It gets so tiring.
Yeah. So that's new in my world.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay. We are going to skip our fun, what's it called?
Segment.
Our fun segment this
it's
time.
Only boring from here on out on the podcast.
No, usually we do a game, but our interview that's just you're gonna love today was so long we didn't want to take up too much time, so we are just going to get straight into the interview.
Yes. Show, we have Jacqueline Journey, who's a wedding planner, designer, and brand spanking new mama. So we are so glad to have you, Jacqueline. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us about this new little squish in your house.
Oh my gosh. He's 8 months old and he's huge. He's, gosh, I don't even know how much he weighs now, but he's a really big baby. He's, I think, on the verge. I think he's going to walk before he crawls. He's that kind of.
I had one of those, too.
You did?
Uh-huh. Yeah, her hashtag is Honey Badger, so best of luck. Actually, that's not really true. She crawled at 4 months old, and she stood up and walked and, like, sprinted at 8 months. Like, she was off, which should have told us a lot.
I know. He's such a chill baby. He goes along with the flow, which is wonderful because our life, everything is all over the place right now. He only cries when he's hungry and he's tired, and it's been great because everything else has been so crazy.
Yeah.
So,
because you smartly decided that you would change, you know, a huge part of your business while you were having a baby, right?
Everything always happens at one time. Yeah, so last December, well, he came a month early, which I was not expecting, of course. So all the timing lined out where his due date was the same week, the first week of January, where I had a wedding and we had to be moved out of my old studio a day after the wedding. So he came a month early. The wedding was 2 weeks later. We moved out of the, well, I didn't move. My family helped me move out of the studio day after the wedding. And then we moved all of that stuff into our house, along with all the new baby things that we had. And yeah, that was so crazy. And then finally in April, we moved into our new studio, which we love and we're so happy to be here. But yeah, it was a really insane time. And all of that while planning other weddings for the spring. So I wish that I would have taken a real maternity leave, but I didn't. I was working, you know, since he came early, I was working on contracts while I was sitting in the hospital waiting to have C-section. And I did not have it planned very well to have extra help on the business side of things as he was a newborn.
If you could go back to that time, like, what would you tell yourself or what would you tell someone else that's in that situation?
I would tell people they have to wait. I've been planning weddings for 8 years, and it's always just been me and my husband, Chris, and we do pretty much whatever we want. We just never had to plan for, I don't really know how you say it. We're selfish. We've just done everything the way we wanted to do it. I've never, about a year before Kit was born, I really tried to create this very, I wanted to have a process for how my business ran, and so that if I couldn't have been at the wedding that was in the beginning of January, that somebody else could have done it for me. And I was working so hard. And it was so hard to keep everything working. I didn't do it well enough. And so this year, that's what we're working on. I've just brought somebody onto my team to really help me do that. But I wish that I could have, gosh, I don't know. I don't know if it would even make a difference. I don't know. I think you just kind of survive.
Well, and some of it is first baby stuff, right? Because you always underestimate, I feel like, with your first baby, like how hard it's going to be. Because you just don't know. You don't know that your whole life changes.
No, and he, gosh, compared to running a business, he's so easy to take care of. I told that to somebody and they were like, oh gosh, that doesn't sound right.
No, but I get it.
You know, with brides and their mothers especially, sometimes it planning a wedding, their mindset, they're fragile. So there's so many emotions and all this stuff, family dynamics and all this. I always feel like I have to take care of them and put my emotions aside and just take care of them. So then when I actually have to take care of somebody else other than myself, who I don't take care of as much anyway, it started to lag there. And I think probably a lot of my brides did notice that, how I was really trying to give them the attention I would normally give them, but I couldn't. I mean, that's just what's going to happen, but it killed me. And I still haven't quite gotten over it, but I'm kind of to the point where I know that it's time to refocus things and figure out how this can work better.
Yeah.
Because also, I think, you know, being a wedding planner, I'm busy all year long. I don't really have a necessary downtime anymore. I used to, when I was doing mostly floral work and less planning, I would have the winters where it was pretty quiet. But now it's planning all year long. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to work in the studio 3 days a week and then be home with Kit the rest of the week. So that's the ultimate goal. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We're just taking every day as it comes for now.
Yeah. I would be interested to see the difference in your job pre and post Pinterest.
Oh, gosh.
I got married between my sophomore and junior year of college.
Okay.
And I was so busy with college that my mom did everything. Showed up. I picked my dress, my bridesmaids. I told them what color dress to wear. And then I showed up and I was like, oh, this is really nice. You guys did a good job. But Pinterest wasn't invented yet.
Yeah. I started planning weddings right at the very beginning of wedding blogs. So that was before Pinterest was around. But Pinterest came, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years after that. So when blogs came out, that's when people were starting. That's when the mason jar trend was starting to happen. Years ago. And then, so people, I don't know if it's just this city where everybody kind of copies each other, and it seems like that's kind of how Louisville is in a way. Not everybody, but, and that's a big generalization. But once Pinterest started, it was a whole different level of copycat copycatting. It was very hard for a while. It's with my current brides that I'm working with, we use Pinterest a little bit for inspiration, but they tend to be the kind of brides that don't really look at that. They're the brides that I'm working with now, most of them live out of town and they're coming home to get married. So it's kind of a destination wedding for all of their guests. Or I'm doing a lot of work out of town. So I do a lot of destination work. Pretty much all my brides are destination at this point. So, but they're also the kind of people that they've traveled the world. They read books still. They're not, you know, they use Instagram in a very different way than a lot of other people would. So they're drawing inspiration from traveling and from just stuff like that, rather than just sitting on Pinterest trying to find whatever's on trend and do that.
Yeah.
So, it's fun. I think it's a lot more fun these days.
Yeah. My sister-in-law is getting married over Thanksgiving weekend in Disney World. We're big Disney people. Yes. And she came to our last sister's get together with this book. I mean, it was so giant with all these options. And I was like, I'm real glad that I didn't have to pick any of this stuff because it was not my kind of thing, which is where I think I would love to have someone like you to be like, okay, I'm narrowing this down for you. Here's what you're looking for. Let me guide you in that way.
Yes. Yeah. I am usually pretty good at reading people, especially the first time I meet them. I will say, though, while I was during my pregnancy and afterwards, where I was struggling with a bit of, well, I won't say a bit, quite a bit of postpartum depression, that that radar kind of fell off for a bit, but I think that it's coming back. And so generally my whole process, I have an inspiration session with my bride and we talk about all the things they love and like food shop, you know, the stores they love to shop at, where they like to travel, all kinds of stuff like that. And then when it comes to actually making decisions about design stuff, I give them two or three options based on what I know they like and what their budget is. It's obviously budget's a huge driving factor. So I try to narrow it down for them because it is so overwhelming. There are way too many options. And yeah, so I hope that makes it a little easier for them. But yeah, it's a tough time.
It is. And nobody's like, I'm getting married and I have nothing else happening in my life. Yes, I'm just sitting at home twiddling my thumbs thinking about my wedding.
Yeah, that's generally they're planning a wedding. They're moving into a new house. Most of them are done with school, but occasionally sometimes in grad school, but there's so many things going on at once and it's a lot.
Yeah.
So how many weddings do you normally manage around at the same time?
Ultimate goal is to do 5 a year and I'm almost there. Well, almost just doing 5 a year, but there have been years where, especially when I was doing mainly just floral, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, where I would do about 30 a year. So yeah, don't do that anymore.
I'm surprised when you said 5. I thought it would be more, but that's pretty cool that you can get enough business out of 5 a year. That's pretty amazing.
Well, and especially if their destination, it's a lot of traveling back and forth. And it's the ideal workload, I think, for not wanting to work. Well, I mean, basically, I will end up working full-time regardless, even if I just work 3 days a week. But it will in the studio 3 days a week, but I think it allows for a little more flexibility and family time and friend time. And I don't want work to run my life. Mm-hmm. Even if I own a business, it's a very hard thing to balance. Cause I don't know that there is such thing as work-life balance. I'm just trying to figure that out. I hear very different things from very different people, but I think I just have to figure out what it means for me. And
And I know people find you because you have a tremendous word of mouth following. Lots of people that I know you. Also, though, you've been in some national publications. So tell us about that.
Yeah. I've had work in Martha Stewart in the magazine and online. And actually, very exciting. I just, Southern Living Magazine just did a... I don't know how they came upon their decisions, but they just did the top planners in the South. And I was on that list, which was very exciting. And then I've had a lot of my floral work in different magazines, blogs, kind of all over the place. And I think, you know, I love the blog thing, especially because it, you know, when people are searching on Google, you can find, I've gotten some of my best weddings just from random Google searches and blog things and all that. So that's, yeah, that's been pretty great.
Yeah. So when these national publications come out, are they finding you or are you submitting work to them?
Both. Mainly submitting work to them.
That's awesome.
But the Southern Living thing, I have no idea how they, I don't know how they found the people they chose, but I loved
it. Yeah.
Really not surprised. Very unexpected.
I love those things. Like,
yeah.
How exciting is it that, I mean, right. Isn't it fun when you open a magazine and you're like, that's me, or that's my friend. I get as excited for my friends when I'm like, oh my gosh, Douglas, it's Southern Living.
Years ago, Martha Stewart came out with a list of their top floral designers in each state. Mm-hmm. And I think I maybe had one thing in Martha Stewart before that. And I had a friend who lived in, she's in New Jersey. She's looking through the magazine. She's like, oh my gosh, Jacqueline, your name is in there. They picked one floral designer from each state. And I was the Kentucky one. And it was on my birthday. I found out about that. And that was the best birthday present.
That's so cool. That is very cool.
Very exciting.
So now that you're really doing more wedding planning than floral design, mm-hmm. are you sending people out for floral design? Does that hurt your heart? Is that hard on you?
Well, so the way that it's working now is every wedding I plan, we handle all of the florals. So I have people that help me with it. I'll still come up with all the designs and order the flowers and all of that. And then I have a lot of really amazing helpers that will put most of it together. I used to still, even while I was planning, I would do all the flowers myself and have a couple people help, but it's so time consuming and so labor intensive. I can't do it anymore as much as I'd like to. But my business has gone from a couple different, I started doing full planning and then moved into doing mostly just floral because the trend was not really happening in the city. Most people were still doing that really tight kind of look that you, I mean, you still kind of see it around, but I think people were looking for something fresh and new. So I was doing a lot of floral work. And then I realized I just really like the relationship aspect of planning and being with the families the whole 9-10 months, however long you're planning, and being able to have a grip on the whole design rather than just a piece of it. It was so frustrating walking to a wedding, setting up flowers, but the rest of it had just fallen through the, you know, it just didn't look like how it should look. And knowing that they spent so much money on really nothing as far as the whole design came together, it made me kind of sad. So I got back into planning, and that was a couple years ago. I made the push back into planning, and I love it so much more. So I still do, a lot of people who want just florals, occasionally I'll take it on, sort of depends on the job and how much time I have, but I'll send it out to other people these days.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Tell us about working with possibly the most needy client base ever.
My gosh. It is usually, let's just say this. People always ask, have you ever worked with a bridezilla? No, I have never had a bridezilla. It's 99% of the time, it's usually the mothers that cause most of the issues. Not saying that they're all bad issues, but it's usually the moms that if anything happens, it's from them. It's a
hard, well, sure, because they're living out their dreams that they didn't get at their own wedding.
Yeah, there's that, yes. And then depending on if the bride is, you know, their birth order, depending on that, especially if it's the last daughter, it's hard for mom. I can understand that. Even before I was a mom, it must just be so hard watching your last baby or even your first one start a whole new life, and they don't need you as much, although they still do in reality. But the separation, even as a bride for me, when I was a bride, it was so hard leaving my parents and changing my name. I waited so long to change my name because you lose your identity. And there's so many other emotions. There's financial things. There's so many different things that it is very hard. And I understand that that's the whole background that I sometimes get myself too entangled with my clients, but I'm really trying to step back and say, that's not really my job to get in with your emotions. You guys have to work that out yourself, but it can be hard. And a lot of times, especially if the bride suffers from anxiety or whatever the past relationships are with their parents, like some, you know, divorced couples and parents that may have some sort of anxiety issue on their own or any sort of mental, anything like that. Those are all huge background problems that can cause even more problems for us while we're planning weddings. So try to be very patient. It's actually kind of interesting. I was debating on whether or not I wanted to go to college for counseling or fashion merchandising. Two very strange. It's a weird combo. I ended up going for fashion merchandising. Styling, basically. I wanted to design store window displays and interiors. So really wedding planning in this day and age is kind of it's the same thing. It's just a different medium. But the counseling aspect, I mean, it's basically what I do all day long. More counseling than design, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, what I've started to notice is, especially with younger brides, with social media and just the way the world is now, they all have such high anxiety that, and it's comparison and, you know, visual comparisons. It's so hard to navigate that. So counseling, I feel like I need to go back to school and get a degree. Like, I'm just not equipped to help with all of the issues.
Yeah. I relate to that. And I do have some counseling education, but a lot of times I come and I'm like, well, I've watched your baby eat for like 5 minutes and the rest of it you sat and cried about everything else going wrong, and that's postpartum, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and actually, I wanted to circle back to that anyway. Who were your support people when you had Kit? Who were the people that sort of shook you and said, hey, something isn't right, let's fix it?
My mom, for sure. My husband, Chris, definitely noticed things weren't the same. You know, like, he could tell there was something going on. And then my friends, too. A lot of them, I know they didn't really know how to help. I honestly had never suffered with depression ever really before, or at least I didn't think I had. Now, thinking back and understanding what it is, I probably have at some point. But it was a lot of my mom, mainly my mom. There were so many different things that all happened at once in regards to the birth. He came early. I couldn't really breastfeed. I was struggling trying to figure out where my business was at. I still had brides calling me and texting me, and I couldn't put up the boundaries there. I couldn't let go of it. It was too hard for me to know that the one part that I've always had control over, that I had to let it go for a little bit to focus, you know, to get, you know, have a baby. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of stuff at once. I felt very, very, very overwhelmed. And I didn't know how. I'm a big emotion suppressor myself. So I was trying to just push it all away, and I couldn't. So then finally, I went and I saw my doctor. I think it was how many checkups you go to after you have a baby, but it was one of those. And she suggested maybe getting on some medicine. She said, you just don't seem like yourself, so maybe you should try this. So I did. And I am so thankful I did, and the timing, because he was 3 months old and then my big wedding season for the spring started. I don't know if I could have made it through the spring with all of the stuff that was happening without some sort of help. Mm-hmm. And I think that in hindsight, I maybe should have gone to some sort of counseling and talked to somebody a little bit earlier, but I'm starting that whole process now. I think I need to learn how to not suppress my emotions in the way that I do. So, and I feel like that's, I know personally, my personality type, especially people who are entrepreneurs, they have to do that to kind of power through and deal
with shaking our heads like, right. yes, it's not about us, but sometimes it has to be about us.
Especially in the beginning, you have to pack away so much insecurity, and just, you don't know what you're doing when you start a business. Nobody really can teach you what every business is so different. And even though I went to school and I did so many business classes and all that, they don't ever teach you how to run a business. It's all trial by error. And I never worked for a wedding planner before I started doing this. I just kind of started doing it all. So it's been everything. It's evolved so much, and you have to pack away the insecurity and just power through. And so that's what I've been doing for 8 years. So I know that I have a lot suppressed. And I think, you know, I've read a lot about how, after you have a baby, your hormones, the way you have that big influx and then they just drop so quickly, and all of that can put, you all probably know more about this than I do, but that can bring out a lot of suppressed things and all that. So that's maybe part of the problem. I don't really know, but I'm going to figure it out.
I'm really proud of you, and thanks for sharing your strength with us, because
I think you're going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, people need to hear it.
It's normal.
I have a really good friend who said to me this year, nobody told me that sometimes this sucks. Like, everybody says this is all puppies and roses, and sometimes this really sucks. So now I try and text everybody and tell them it sucks sometimes.
Again, like I said, taking care of the baby is easier than managing myself right now and managing all of the other people. And I know that that's probably not right, but I've never known anybody to come out and say that they had postpartum depression. I've never known anyone to tell me that. And then I started putting on Instagram, I start to put like little things about the baby blues or about like little snippets, not really saying it, because most people don't really care. But I would get so many messages, people saying, I'm in the same boat. And, you know, it's like, well, you don't post that on social media either. Nobody, it just looks so perfect everywhere. And nobody tells you. I think, you know, everybody's experience is so different. And a lot of women, they don't realize they have any sort of depression or anxiety after the baby comes. And I'm so glad that it was pointed out to me. And I finally accepted that that's what was going on. That's what I was feeling. And I'm okay with it, and we're just going to work through it, and I know eventually it will come out on the other side.
Absolutely.
It's getting much better. Now that we're 8 months in, I mean, I would say the first 6 months were the worst, but I think that I'm crawling out.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's really great, and I'm glad that you know that this does have an ending. It has the other side. Yeah, because with some of my kids, I've suffered from postpartum depression, and some I have not, and there is a big difference. There's a really big difference. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell us about the process, kind of quickly, of your build out, because you did not just walk into a studio space that was ready to go.
No. Whitney, Neil, and I, Whitney's a photographer, wedding photographer, her and I, we started our businesses around the same time. We met in college, started our businesses together, and then we had been renting a space down at The Point, which is about a block down from where we are currently in Butchertown. We were there for 4 years, and every day when we would drive into our studio, we passed this little house on the corner. It's this duplex, completely dilapidated. I didn't know if anyone was living in there or not. It was scary looking. We drove past it every day. And then finally, when we started to look for a new studio about a year ago, we both mentioned this house to each other in a search for building. We knew that this was available. It was about to be redone. And we were both like, I have dreamt of that being my studio for years. So we figured out who Andy Bleeden, who's our landlord. He's developing this whole block. It's called the Butcher Block. And we talked to him, and he's did all of the renovation, everything. So it was, there were no floors in here. The scene, it had been vacant for 40 years. There was mold everywhere. There were holes in the ceiling. It was so disgusting.
But we walked in. I can't believe he didn't just tear it down.
Oh, well,
it's historic, probably.
Yeah. We think we're not for sure, but it has so much character and so much history. And it's funny. I walked through here. I was pregnant. Whitney and he was very hesitant to show us. I think he was a little nervous. Her and I, we were visual people. We can see the end result. So we walked in and we're like, this is perfect. That's it. No more discussion. Let's just get it done.
He's have you had your head checked recently? Because there's no floors in this place.
There was a plant growing out of the ground. It was pretty funny.
You're like, I'm really good with plants. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So we were supposed to start renovations in November last 2016. And we didn't really start anything until December, like about a week before Kit was born. And then we would have to, once it all started, it was finished in April. So they did it pretty quickly. But Kit would just come with me. We'd walk into this building where there's sawdust everywhere and like old, like mold and stuff. I'd just cover him up. We'd walk in, we'd approve whatever we needed to approve. And so it's fun having photos of him being in this building before it was all done. And we have a 5-year lease on it. So he'll be 5 when and if we move out onto the next thing. And I think that is so cool to be able to watch him grow up as this whole process has been happening, mm-hmm. you know?
I feel like we really need to do some historic research and see if we can find pictures of children in that house from 40 years ago.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, okay. So that's... Yeah.
We're going to work on that.
I know you don't have anything else going on these days. You're not at all busy. So I'm going to need you to add that to your list of to-dos.
Okay, I'll put it down.
But I just think that's one of the cool things about historic properties is mm-hmm. who's been there before and who's... I'll tell you the cheesy thing I did when I moved out of my old house. I took the light switch cover. I saw this on the internet somewhere. And took it off the wall and wrote a little story about how my, at that time, three children were raised in our little two-bedroom, one-bathroom house. And then we put the light switch back on. So whenever they go to change those light switches out, somebody will learn about our family.
That's so cool.
I'm overly sentimental.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, yeah. So I'm excited to see pictures of Kit growing up there.
Yeah.
We are going to switch gears a little bit and do our fast five.
Okay.
All right. We're just going to ask you five quick questions really fast. Just answer them as they come to you. All right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Fast five.
What is your favorite magazine?
CN Traveler.
What is your least favorite current wedding trend?
Greenery. Oh.
What TV show can you just sit down and binge watch?
Gilmore Girls.
Me too. What is your most played album on iTunes?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. It's been a playlist on Spotify. But I don't know what it is. It's the Discover Weekly one. So it's different every week. Yeah.
Oh, that's really fun. Mm-hmm. And what is your favorite flower?
Can it be a greenery? Does it have to
sure.
be well?
Sure, oh, yeah. It can be a greenery.
Geranium leaves. Those are my favorite. I love how they smell.
I don't even know what they look like.
They smell kind of minty. They remind me of California. I did a wedding in California
so
once.
Sweet. I love it. I think it's interesting. Like, when I got married, my favorite flower was a daisy. And I was like, I'm going to have daisies in my wedding. And people made fun of me up, down, left, and right. They were like, what is wrong with you? This is not a wedding flower. Well, it was in my wedding. What's up?
Do what you like.
Yeah. It sort of my mom called me Jenny for a while from Forrest Gump.
Oh. Well, I don't know how much time we have, but the reason I really started planning weddings was because it bothered me so much how every wedding was the same. And it seemed really silly that people would spend all this money for really nothing. There's nothing special about every wedding being the same. This industry is a very interesting industry to be in. It's a lot about just making money and that's it. And I felt like we were missing something of these are people and these people's families are all coming and it's joining of families and this whole big thing. So you want the experience to reflect the couple and to make it a really nice, like you don't want to leave the wedding. You want to be there with them and the food is great or everything is very reflective of them. So yeah. That's I think really that cool. If you wanted daisies at your wedding, then you should have daisies at your wedding.
I love that. I love that you're crafting something that is individualized to the family.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really special and beautiful.
Important.
Awesome. Yeah. So how can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram. It's at Jacqueline Journey. And my website is jacquelinejourney.com. I don't really do... I loved Snapchat for a minute, but I'm not on Snapchat anymore. I don't have time for all these different outlets of social media.
You can't do them all.
Not tweeting a lot.
I do get a lot of my news from Twitter, though. I do still look at it, but I don't have much time for news anymore either.
Have you heard us on our podcast make fun of Twitter? And then people came in and they're like, stop making fun of Twitter because it's really still a thing.
It is.
I'm also on a thing right now. Because you and I have a shared friend, my friend John Paul,
Yes. Made fun of me because I added QR codes to my most recent poster. And he's like, QR codes are not a thing anymore. Stop doing that.
Oh.
And so my Instagram stories are 50% me taking pictures of QR codes I find in public to prove that QR codes are still cool.
They are.
They are.
I've never used one.
You've never used a QR code?
No.
Well, welcome to 2017.
I mean, I'm like, when they first came out, I was like, oh, but I don't know. I wouldn't use it now.
The best part is that I put one on Instagram the other day that was of the Avery Labels has a QR code you're supposed to scan. And I put a picture of it. And my friend Ashley, John Paul's wife, was like, please don't say that QR codes are cool by using Avery Labels as your,
as your proof. Your proof.
And I was like, well, organization is very cool, so whatever.
Yeah. All right.
All right. And with that, Jacqueline, thank you for sharing your experience with us. It has been lovely, as always.
Thank you so much.
And we will look forward to talking to you again soon sometime.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Kim.
So I am loving, I'm going to tell you another app I am loving. Sorry to stick with apps, but there's this app called Digit, and it's a savings app. I am one of the worst people when it comes to saving money if I have to physically do it myself. So I found this app that...
Who is like, you know what I'm good at? I am good at putting money away and
I mean,
not touching it.
I don't know. Some crazy people. So this app, first of all, you do it all through texting.
Oh, which that's is very millennial.
Right? And it just automatically saves for you. And it's not a certain amount. It's somehow, like, algorithm-y, figures out how much it can save. And you can tell it to save more or less if you see how it's going. And it's just kind of something you forget about. And then every once in a while, it'll tell you, like, it'll tell you your bank balance. It'll text you that. Every once in a while, it'll text you your savings balance. But you can text it like this, like, the rain umbrella emoji, and it'll mm-hmm. tell you the balance on your rainy day fund. It's really cute. But I've saved like a good amount of money just
nice.
Like that you forget that you even have. So I'm kind of excited for one day to take a big trip or I don't know what we're
going to.
Retire. Yeah. And just one day I was like, I'm going to try it.
Cool.
And
that's neat.
It's really working. So I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
If you're interested. It's really nice. What about you?
This sounds so vain, but I am loving this new face oil I got from Beauty Counter, which is, a multi-level marketing company. And I've tried other products of theirs and was not, they did not work well for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I recently have been dealing with what they call problem skin, which is, I'm 31 and I have a combination of wrinkles and pimples, which is a horrible right? I'm like, what?
How can this happen?
Right. And so I had to start using retinol to take away some of the wrinkles and pimples. And so my face is like crazy dry from the retinol.
Does that work for wrinkles?
It does. It really does.
Because I need it.
No, I swear you have really beautiful skin. You should look really closely at the pictures online. but yeah, the face oil, this balancing face oil has been really soothing and not so oily that I'm getting more pimples. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan.
What's it called again?
It's called Balancing Face Oil by Beauty Counter.
Okay. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Seeking Balance.
If you don't want to miss future episodes, be sure to click the subscribe button in Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you enjoyed this, why not tell a friend? We appreciate your help spreading the word.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook group is called Seeking Balance Podcast Hangout. That's where you'll find us answering listener questions, meeting people, and discussing ideas.
If you want to see notes, photos, or links from this episode, just go to SeekingBalancePodcast.com. You'll also see a support button at the top of the page. That will take you to our Patreon page. You can support us for as little as $1 a month and receive exclusive content. Thanks for your support!